The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio.
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that one.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Cause I wanna get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, and Nick Mason.
Three best friends.
Right.
Three amigos.
Yeah. All right.
Three
blind mice.
Hey. Hey.
Three
stooges.
I don't want to be associated with
this. I want to get one.
There's
another one out there.
I can't get it.
Let's move past it. Let's put it behind us, guys.
Wake up and get ready to go through Rush.
You can't do that to our pleasures. Only we can do that to our pleasures.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Interesting conversation. Spent a majority of it talking about Little League coaching, which, you know, it's funny how things kind of play out that way. But either way, who knows? We may revisit that because we could probably spend
really
all
beyond
day
that.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it started off with Frank Martin's comments and evolved there. So it was it's an interesting conversation. So I appreciate everybody getting involved.
Frank Martin's wrong. John's wrong. Tommy's wrong. And all the listeners to the Morning Rush are wrong.
But Nick Mason's right.
But Nick Mason's right.
Yeah, the ultimate troll job by Nick Mason. Hey, but you know what? It doesn't surprise me that that's how you believe in that topic, at least. That's how I look at it. All right, let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in Eric Bowen of SEC Country. Talk a little bit about the Arkansas basketball team, but mainly about the baseball team. Eric, appreciate you joining us, my man. It's been a bit, and so it's good to have you back on.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And I want to start with the Arkansas basketball team, just to get your quick thought on that. And obviously, me and you, I remember we did our predictions, and we felt like getting to the NCAA tournament was about what they would do, but to get bounced out the way they did against Butler, who I know was disappointing for a lot of people. Just a kind of a general glimpse looking back, how you felt the season went, meet expectations, reasons to be excited. Was it a disappointment? Just how did you feel about the way it all ended?
I think it's up to individual personalities, because you can look at it and say there was disappointment because the way that they lost to Butler, there was disappointment because they had, like they always have, that weird losing streak in the middle of SEC play. So there's these bouts of things that look like underachievement, but then there's stuff where they completely overachieved. I mean, playing North Carolina as well as they did, beating OU at the time was huge. Beating Tennessee was a big one. Winning, what, 6 of 7 or something like that to end the season, Texas A&M and Auburn and all that. So there were flashes. There were just enough flashes of greatness to make people, honestly, to make people angry that they didn't go to the second round. But there were also enough disappointments in there, too, that suggested to me, like, look, this team is going to have to maybe not get lucky, but have to be on their A game if they really want to make a run to the Sweet 16. And, you know, when they got down early against Butler, I mean, it wasn't nail in the coffin, but you kind of just had this sense that, you know, they don't have the Bud Walton crowd behind them. I don't know if another comeback's going to be in the cards. And sure enough, they tried, but it wasn't quite there. So ultimately, I mean, it wasn't the exact season I kind of anticipated, but it wasn't far off. I mean, they kind of did what I figured they would do this year.
Eric, when it comes to Daniel Gafford and his future, it's a guess with everyone, but weigh in on this topic, and what do you think the future for Gafford holds? I would assume he's going to throw his name into the draft and evaluate that and kind of test those waters and, you know, experience the process. But what do you think ultimately happens? Does this guy come back and play another season, or is his pro career begin now?
It's hard to say, like all people, because it's, you know, we're not in their heads. But I can tell you what I would do if I were Gafford, and that's a completely different answer than what I think Gafford should do, because, you know, I'm not him. But if I'm Daniel Gafford, and here's what I hear from fans all the time. Oh, he's not ready for the NBA because, you know, he can't make a jump shot. He needs more time to develop in college basketball. I'm sorry, guys, that are saying that, but those days are gone. Like, the days of developing in college basketball versus sitting on in the NBA and riding the pine forever, NBA teams don't draft like that anymore. I mean, go look at any of the draft projection sites, and you got to get down to, like, number 9 before you get somebody who's older than 19 years old, right? It's like all international guys or all college freshmen. They're drafting on this upside, and the longer that Gafford stays, the more it's going to look like. It's like college baseball. You don't want a lot of seniors on your team anymore in college baseball, because that means those guys are not good enough to go to the NBA. And it's not exactly like that, but it's that type of thinking. So Gafford can go. I mean, if he feels like he's going to be a top 15, if he feels like he's going to be a Bobby Portis pick or higher, he's going to develop plenty in the NBA. That's what the NBA does with guys now. Is you see so many dudes who go and do not nothing for 3 years, but look at Portis. He didn't do much of anything. I mean, he was okay for 2 years, but people were like, man, he's going to get traded, or he's kind of a bust, isn't he? And then he had a really good couple months in this season, and he's looking like he can be a starter on some teams here and there. That's just what the NBA does. So if Gafford thinks that he's going to go pretty high and they give him what he wants as far as money-wise and all that, he feels like he's a good thing, then, yeah, I mean, I think I would do it if I were him.
Speaking with Eric Bowen of SEC Country, Eric, I want to bring up baseball because, you know, you cover baseball. You know, you're pretty knowledgeable in the sport, I'd say, at least more knowledgeable than I am. And it seems like Arkansas right now, with that sweep against Kentucky, it's really raised some eyebrows and had some signals go off for people saying who felt like this team was good. But now it becomes a real thing, like this may be a next level type of team from previous Dave Van Horn coach teams. What'd you think about the series and where they're at right now in this season?
It's a stacked baseball team. It is the most stacked from a talent perspective baseball team that they've had, at least since I've been paying close attention to Arkansas baseball. So since my formative years, you know, junior high is when, like, you really start to pay attention to stuff. And the older I got and, you know, realized baseball is my favorite sport, so I watched them really close. But, dude, it's loaded. 1 through 9 is loaded. Blaine Knight, Isaiah Campbell are both at least top 5 round picks. I would say probably top 3 round picks in the draft. The Sunday star, Casey Murphy's, he keeps guys off balance. I think Bryce Bonin's going to be a really, really good pitcher. Caleb Bolden's going to be really good. It is deep and talented, which is the scariest thing. And it's not just that they beat Kentucky, because if they would have swept Kentucky even, like if they would have swept Kentucky and it would have been, you know, 5-3 and 4-1 and, you know, 10-8, if it would have been close stuff, it would have been like, you know what, that's impressive, but you know, it's
39 runs.
But they blasted them out of the water. And that was, dude, that was the team that was number 4 in the nation. I put them up. I do our SEC Country Power Poll. The way that they had been playing, I put them up to number 1 team in the SEC, only because Florida had lost. And it was just kind of one of those fluky deals where it was like, you know, Kentucky didn't lose this week, let's move them up. But they are seriously good. And everything that happened this weekend leads me to believe that what people are saying about this team, what Kendall Rogers nationally are saying, what I picked for the year, I think this is a College World Series team. And they've done nothing to dissuade that. And in fact, have kind of made it harder on themselves to some fans who are now going to be like, oh, you lost 2 of 3 of Florida. What are you doing? Florida's the number 1 team in the nation. But it's good. I mean, it's a good problem to have when you're playing this good this early.
Arkansas is batting .327 as a team. That leads the league. They have scored 186 runs, which leads run production in the SEC. Now, here's something I found interesting in the notes. 70 of Arkansas's 186 runs have come in the first 3 innings of the games. Eric, what do you attribute to the early power that Arkansas has in innings 1, 2, and 3? Why are they jumping on teams so early in these games when you're only seeing the pitcher for the first time and Arkansas is crushing it early in these games? What do you attribute that to?
They're not a team that's afraid to swing the bat. It's a big part of it. And I know it's, you know, you're still going to – it's like, oh, yeah, you're still going to have the same amount of at-bats ultimately, but – They attack quickly. I mean, Jack Spiggers is I'd love him at the number 1 spot as opposed to being 9. Now, I know, obviously, you're going to say, you know, the 9 hole's definitely a worse spot, but they've liked having him in the 9 last year, talked about having him in the 9 this year. But I think he's such an aggressive hitter, and he's got just enough punch. I mean, he's the reigning SEC Player of the Week. He's that good, and he's kind of one of those old school guys. He's like a scrappy ball player, you know, back in those days. And I bring that up because he reminds me of those days before we started talking about analytics in sports, right? Like now everything's analytics, and you know, what's your fielding range, and all you've got all of these numbers that nobody goes by an eye test anymore, which I think is probably it's the correct way to go ultimately, but. You know, I love baseball, and so I still look at that eye test a little bit. And Jack Spiggers is one of those eye test all-stars, like David Eckstein or somebody like that. You know, like they call him, back at my previous job, they called guys like that, Dustin Pedroia, those little guys who can just hit, call them scrappy-doo. And Jack Spiggers is a big scrappy-doo guy. Casey Martin looks like a big scrappy-doo guy. You wouldn't expect a 5'10 guy from Lone Oak to be like a front runner for freshman of the year. And these guys are hitting top of the lineup, and they're going in there swinging the bat. Now, it's not that they can't take walks, but they're not going to say, okay, I'm going to wait on you to make a mistake and put me on base. Like, I'm going to take this pitch outside. I'm going to lay off things that are really close because my eye's that good. No, if you give me something over the heart of the plate, I'm going to hit it and take my chances by putting the ball in play versus taking that automatic walk. And it's not as simple as that, but that's a big thing, is they're very aggressive at the plate in those early innings, and they know the starter's typically going to be the best pitcher in the game. You jump on that starter, you get him out early, and you're off to the races.
I want to end with this one, Eric. We've talked about how impressive that they look and what they're doing early in these games and how they're able to beat teams like Kentucky as badly as they have. So, I agree. It's a College World Series type of team, but what is going to keep them from getting to the College World Series? Is there a weakness? Is there something that you see that needs to be worked on, or is it going to be just if they don't make it, it's going to be something that was probably beyond their control?
Well, it's difficult. College baseball is such a different thing. Is all you have to do is lose 2 of 3, right? Like just the way that the things are set up is it's really hard, because if you run into a team that's just got an ace who just all of a sudden is like shutting you down completely, right? Like on a weekend in a super regional, or even just to be honest, just a regional, and a guy just shuts you down, and maybe your lineup goes cold just one time. And those things seem to happen more in baseball than they do in other sports. I mean, I know they happen in basketball a little bit, but in basketball, a lot of times you're so reliant on yourself, but in baseball, a pitcher can put an end to everything you do. I got to make my first hockey reference. It's like running into a hot goalie, like, right? It's just like that guy you can't get anything past. And so those things could ultimately stop Arkansas from getting there. But as far as things on their own team that are going to stop them, I don't know. I don't know if there is any. I think there's still a little bit of a question on Sundays. I would personally like to see Casey Murphy get those Sunday starts, because you want to, if you can rack up sweeps in SEC play, as opposed to just winning 2 of 3 all the time, you rack up sweeps in SEC play, that's going to strengthen your chances of being a national seed. And look, they're number 4 or 3 team in the nation right now. They're probably going to be it, but they go to Florida this weekend. You might lose that series. You want to get up as many SEC wins as possible so that you're guaranteed one of those national seeds and can host supers. That'll go a long way in helping. I guess the one thing that I've been concerned about, and they fixed one by scoring all those runs against Kentucky, is they're so reliant on freshmen in that bullpen right now. I think a guy like Jake Rindle has not pitched very well. Evan Lee has not pitched very well. They're very, very much relying on new blood guys. And those new blood guys have come through, but you do wonder, like, guys like that, it's not a talent thing with freshmen. It's, are they going to break down physically from the amount of innings and how long the season is, how long they have to keep it up for college baseball? Because Dave Inhorn played a heck of a non-conference too. So I kind of wonder about that, whether or not those old school guys, or the veteran guys rather, can get it going in the bullpen and on the mound. But that's kind of nitpicking. I think this team has every possibility of going there.
Eric Bowen of SEC Country, appreciate it, Eric. Great stuff as always, man. I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road, my friend.
Yeah, maybe you'll catch me next week. I won't be on vacation.
Perfect, man. Well, appreciate you coming on anyways.
Yep, see you, boys.
All right, 877-377-6963. This is the Morning Rush on a Toyota Tuesday. Check out Toyota's all-new 2019 vehicles at your Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander, with plenty of room for up to 8 people. Toyota.
Let's go places.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back in. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, all in studio with you. And speaking of hitthatline.com, be sure to visit there. It's not only where we're streaming online, but have a lot of great content for everybody to check out on the daily. Videos, articles, all that good stuff.
So and we'll have updates on baseball playing out in Charlotte the next couple of days, today and tomorrow. Then a huge weekend series at Florida. Huge for the conference, huge for Arkansas, obviously. But nationally, this is a very important series in college baseball.
You can listen to that radio broadcast right here.
Yeah, on many of these stations.
On your favorite station, no doubt about it. So this is the on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional.
Yeah, Washington Regional, it has got world-class stroke care, is available now in Northwest Arkansas. Getting that immediate medical attention is the crucial part. Sudden weakness, numbness, or problems with walking or speech are all possible signs of a stroke. If you see any of these symptoms, call 911 and get to Washington Regional. Proud to be the first hospital in Benton Boone, Carroll, Madison, and Washington counties to earn advanced certification as a primary stroke center. Learn more online at WRegional.com.
I reckon it has to be, why is there no excitement for spring football? And I know we've talked about it extensively, but I do appreciate, at least on social media, the people that are coming in with the different reasons. Because one guy just says, well, this team sucked last year and they're going to suck this year, so what's the point? And I think the other reasons is, like what we talked about, there's not a storyline, or at least a big enough storyline to move the needle. If they had to add a big-time five-star recruit coming in, or if they had an all-SEC quarterback coming back in, or if they had... you know, some type of player that was on the field that would be able to make that impact, that would work as well. But also Chad Morris coming from maybe a small school. There's just way too many unknowns to be excited.
I think you hit it with your first statement, though, when you said there's no storyline. There's not anything outside of, and any storyline that you can come up with is, well, Chad Morris was at Clemson when they got started. That's the best you can give me right now, because I know there are people out there that say, oh, well, look at what he did at SMU. And hey, I'm with you. I understand they went from 0 wins to 3 wins to 7. But, man, like, you're trying to sell me on 7 wins? Even if they did come from the gutter, even if they were at 0, you still can't sell me on 7 wins and then and I'm going to have some type of excitement. So the only storyline going back to is he was at Clemson when they got it rolling, and he wasn't the head coach, so he was a coordinator at Clemson when they got it rolling. And then it stops there. And so, like, you have to spend something to me. You have to sell me on something. Can't sell me on any of the players on the offensive or defensive side. Can't sell me on any of the guys that are coming in. You can't sell me on any of the coaches, really, because you are still talking about, I mean, and the best are the most popular coach, or the coach that has the longest tenure in college football, especially in the SEC, he's been fired. So, I mean, it's just like, what are we really doing right now? And what are you going to sell me on? And I'm with you on there's just nothing to sell me outside of Chad Morris won 7 games. I also want to say, though, I do think it was a good hire.
Yeah.
And I do think he's going to be better than Bielema. But when we're talking about right now and getting excited about things right now, there's nothing to be excited
about.
People
don't want better than Bielema. They want as good as Petrino. That's what people want to get back to, and then figure out from there if we can consistently see a program build itself into the 9 or 10 win range, which I don't know if that's realistic, but that's what fans want. They want back to Petrino. They want to go back to what has been the best multi-season era of Razorback football in the vast majority of the fan base's lifetime. Now, there are some fans that are over a certain age that remember some of the glory days of the late 70s that were students or adults then, people in their 50s. But there is a big part of the fan base under the age of 50. This has been the best it's been for not just one season. There's been some single seasons that stand out, like 06. Mm-hmm. But then you couldn't follow it up in 07. And it wasn't, 06 wasn't something where you built on 05. It was just kind of an outlier. Then you came along and 10 and 11, you just kind of, you built something there. So That's what fans are really wanting to see from this football program is can we consistently be a factor in what is now an even tougher Western Division with A&M in it.
Yeah, and during that point in time, too, it was also when the SEC was at its peak, I think, as far as competitiveness. Now, maybe not just the division, but the conference as a whole. And you had exciting football to watch. It wasn't just that you were winning games and it was boring. Like, it was exciting product that was put on the field. And that's changed. Yeah, and I mean, that's what happens with time. And I think that with Chad Morris coming in, but even you think about the John Chavis hire as the defensive coordinator, which, you know, will work out, will be as great, I don't know. But if you had hired John Chavis coming off of those successful years at LSU, I think that the excitement would even be more so. It's like, oh, man, this defense. But then it's like John Chavis goes to Texas A&M. It wasn't a terrible defense, but it wasn't great. And it kind of just is like, all right, well, is the game maybe passed him by? Is he kind of on the latter part of his career where he's not going to be able to field some of the great defenses? Is the style of Chad Morris, this hurry up, go, 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 how is that going to affect the defense getting in rhythm and staying off the field? You know, there's those questions about it too, even on the defensive side or offensive side or whatever, where you just don't know, and if you don't know or you don't at least have an instinct or a gut feeling about what direction it's going to go, it's hard for you to really buy into something. And I think the way that the Bielema tenure panned out, it burned a lot of people. It burned a lot of people with having any type of trust with what the team's going to look like, with the expectations, with how the culture was built around the athletic department,
right,
and dealing with the football team that as long as their grades are good, who cares about the rest? I mean, I think that you're going to have to – and it's the cliche answer, you're going to have to win games to get people back to being excited. You're going to have to go out there, and I don't think they're going to beat Alabama this year because they haven't beaten Alabama in 11 years. But if you just have like a couple signature wins this year, or maybe you beat a team that you're not supposed to, or maybe you finally get the monkey off your back and beat frickin' Texas A&M, you know, something like that, I feel like will at least start pushing people to getting more excited. But in spring football, we can talk about it. I think there'll be a little more excitement, maybe marginally. But once you get the season going, once they start actually seeing the product on the field, you start winning some games, that's the easiest way to get them back.
I don't think it's going to matter at the spring game, because at that point, I think that can be spun. If the offense looks terrible, then it's not going to be that the defense is great. It's that the offense is terrible. And if the offense looks good, it's not going to be because they're good. It's going to be because the defense is terrible.
And are you going ones on ones? Are you going ones against the world? I mean, it's also how is the spring game set up, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And hopefully they don't have a video of them doing one-legged squats in the middle of the field, too. You know, like the stuff like that just kind of, when people look back on it, it's like, yeah, it was cool at the time, but then
you don't believe any of it.
You don't believe any of the hype. You don't believe any of it. So therefore, why buy in right now?
Listen. And this is just in life in general. I'm giving everybody out there a life lesson. If you win or if you make sales in life, which is a win, all that stuff, whatever you do, it looks a lot better when you win. Let's take this show for an example. We don't sell any ads on this show, but we are crisp. It's tight. We're in and out of breaks. We're doing great live reads. We got the intros bumping, all that stuff. When we sell zero ads, the show sucks. But if we sell a bunch of ads, then And the show really does. It doesn't matter because we're winning. When you win, you can go do one-legged squats in the middle. You can go and do this. You can go and do that. You don't have to recruit as well. As long as you're winning, that cures everything and that fixes everything. And like, that's the problem now is everybody's looking back on, well, Bielema shouldn't have done that. Well, Bielema shouldn't have done that. It's the same way with the Razorback basketball team. Everybody's saying, man, the rebounding, all these crazy shots. They've been doing that the whole year.
The only difference was they were making them.
Yeah, they were making them then, and they missed them in the last two games. And go back and look at during the year, when they missed those shots, what happened? Auburn, they lost by 20. Other teams, they lost by 20. North Carolina, they lost by 20. Because when those one-legged shots aren't going in and they're not rebounding. So as long as they're winning, then I'm with you. Until this team wins not one game, and – this team is going to have to show that, okay, they're getting better throughout the year and show signs of progression, or else we're going to be having a similar conversation to this next year as well. That's how burned I think the fans are.
They don't want to see any of those hype videos or anything. They don't want to be told about how great this thing's going to be. They don't want the labor pains. They just want the baby.
No.
They want to see the result of what all this is going to be. They don't want to see any of that.
And I think the marketing department knows that. I think the university knows that unless they're living under a rock, which there are very, regardless of what we may say or what we may think, there are very, very intelligent people up there that are controlling all of this and that are delivering information and all that stuff. And I think they know that. I think they know that they don't have any prize recruit coming in. Now, these recruits may turn out all of them go pro. That's cool. But right now, today, they know Alex Collins isn't walking through that door. And they know these things. So I think they're going to market it and try to get your excitement, but it's going to be different because it seemed like in the past with Brett, it was overkill, which was fine whenever you were, okay, you win, you know, one more game and two more games, and it looked like you were going to continue to trend upwards. It's fine, but then as soon as you go backwards, and especially as bad as Brett did last year, then that's when we have a problem.
Yeah, I think recruiting means more than anything because if you look back at Bobby Petrino's first recruiting class, it was arguably his best. Brett Bielema, same way. Even Houston Nutt had a great recruiting class, and it got excitement. I mean, that's just what it is.
And that's about timing. You can't, particularly you look at those classes, and I've made this argument many times about Petrino's first couple of recruiting classes, and we talked about Jarius Wright. We talked about Joe Adams. We talked about Tyler. What are all those guys got in common? They all came from this state. This state hadn't lined up with another bumper crop. For Bielema, it didn't happen. And maybe for Chad Morris, it will at some point. But you've got to have one of those years where there are a ton of great players, SEC-level players in the state, and they all come to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
That happened for Petrino. That's what made Petrino's era so great. It just hadn't happened for any coach since then.
And thankfully, for that whole era, you also had Rich Rodriguez take over the job at Michigan, which forced Ryan Mallett to transfer out and him come to Arkansas, too. So, I mean, timing. Yeah,
you got to
exactly.
have some good fortune come your way.
It's got to be all about timing, no doubt about it. So, but interesting stuff. We're going to keep it going here in the last segment. We're going to get to some nonsense. I got some storylines I want to bring up and stuff that I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate. We'll get to that and more on the other side.
This is Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. Get by your local Toyota dealer for a test.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
The Morning Rush is powered by HitThatLine.com. Razorback news, opinions, videos, anytime, and always free. Streaming now on HitThatLine.com.
You want to trigger this group of individuals in this studio, you start talking about the self-checkouts. My goodness, I didn't know there were so many horror stories from it, but I mean, I've never had an issue with it. But then again, when I usually go, I don't have that many items, and I usually go at weird times when no one's there and stuff. So, my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't know there were so many terrible horror stories about this place. So,
yeah, I just don't have any good story. But a lot of times too, whenever I'm going to the grocery store, I'm already in a bad mood because I don't even want to go. I don't ever want to go. I don't ever want to wait in line. After I stop working, I just want to go home and just sit down for the rest of the day until it's the next day.
So how would you get your would you rather have somebody else do the grocery shopping for you then?
I'd almost rather starve than to have to go to the grocery store.
You know,
pick out groceries.
Believe
check
that.
Out.
Yeah.
No, like seriously.
Yeah.
Or just, I mean, I can just eat fast food.
I'd say, yeah, that would be the way to do it. Is just eat fast food. But not all of us can eat all the fast food and still not gain a pound like you can. So
yo, listen, you only live once.
Yeah. Yeah. Bringing that back. Bringing back YOLO. It's like 2013, but. Anyway, so we were talking a lot about the basketball team, and I haven't really gotten a chance to talk any football yet, and for right reason, there hasn't been anything really going on.
Spring break, they've halted practice.
Yeah,
not much happening.
Yeah.
And they won four games last year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I believe that was the case. And I don't know. I think that maybe it was discussed on this show before I actually got on here, but I just keep going back to the fact that I feel like nobody cares. Like, usually I've had other years. Like, every other year, it seemed like at least there was some excitement about spring football.
I think, there's a lot of optimism about the basketball team. I think 90% of fans never even considered a first-round exit in the NCAA tournament as even a possibility. Before the brackets came out, before you knew who you were playing. And then when you saw you were a 7th seed playing 10th seeded Butler. Oh, yeah, we got this. We got this. Yeah, we got to go to Detroit, but we got this. No one considered in reality that only being one and done in the NCAA tournament could happen. I'd say most fans felt like second round because you had had some success was where it was going to be. The baseball team, I think, is where people are ready to turn the page to, particularly when you're in the top five and you're beating teams in the top five. You're sweeping them, crushing them with 39 runs. I think last weekend did a lot of good, you know, to salve the basketball wounds, you will, to at least turn the page for those that live, I think, on the western half of the state, and those that are just diehard baseball fans. But I think the majority of the baseball fan base lines up down the western side of the state because that's just what my experience tells me. But I think a lot of people are ready to turn the page to baseball. And, you know, will they get excited? I don't know, because the football game with the spring game being in Little Rock this year, it's different. It's weird. I just don't think there are people as jacked up for the start of the Chad Morris era as they were for the start of the Brett Bielema era. And I don't know if it's because his resume isn't as good as Bielema's was coming in. We ought to learn a lesson there. But I just don't think there is as much excitement right now about a new era of Razorback football. And I can't figure out why, when everybody was clamoring for a more wide-open offense, a more spread-attacked offense, back to something at least closer to what was going on in the Petrino era, and that's what the fans are going to be given. But to this point, I don't see this overwhelming, this pot boiling over with excitement about Razorback football.
Well, what sells tickets? Not a great middle linebacker, even though I'd love to have an All-American middle linebacker that's going to go make 155 tackles.
Martrell Spate.
Yeah. I mean, not a good defensive back, not a kicker. You start with the quarterback. Yeah. Quarterbacks sell tickets. Tyler Wilson, Ryan Mallett, they sell tickets. Then from there you go Joe Adams, Jarius Wright.
Playmaker.
Exciting playmaker.
Offensive skill
they
players.
They sell tickets. So. Now Davis, Dennis Johnson, they sell tickets. I mean, you're not checking any of those categories. Who's the quarterback going to be next year?
Well, you think Cole Kelly right now.
Is he any good? I mean, you don't really, who are the wide receivers? I mean, mm-hmm. are they any good? We don't know. They never got the ball.
Yeah. But if there was a lot of pinned-up excitement, a lot of pinned-up interest, you couldn't wait till, was it April 7th for the spring game? Let's find all of this out together.
Yeah.
See, that's my thing, is that even if that doesn't have, like you said, the box office type of players that can, you know, really sell tickets, really get people excited, there's still been always at least a little interest. Even in the years we're back, like the year where Bobby Portis and Michael Qualls were a part of the basketball team, and also the baseball team was doing really well, there was still, it's like, okay, we're really happy about basketball, we're really happy about baseball, but we still are excited about football.
Because
I get none of that right now.
And a lot of that was because football was trending upwards. You had a Power 5 coach that had won championships in a real conference. You're not talking about a guy, because what did Chad Morris finish last year?
He went 7-5.
Yeah, so you're not talking about, he went 7-5 in what conference? Now, once again, I still think it's a good hire for where you were and what you were trying to do, but still, he won 7 games and he wasn't even playing in a real conference.
Makes me think, though, that the rumor that was going around was,
but to counter that, look where you took that program from.
Right.
True. Yeah. And I'm not saying, once again, I'm not here saying that was not a good hire because, yeah, look where he took it. But still, I still know, okay, yes, he did take it from there, but it's like he took it from god awful to, oh, okay, y'all won 7 games.
Well,
that's cool.
But it's a process. And I think people will figure out, I think they've hired him a really great coach up there.
Yeah.
And
but right now, though, we're saying, why is there not excitement there, even the same way there was from Bielema? And right.
That's
a little bit.
That's the part I can't figure out.
And yeah. Well, and that's a little bit of reason why. And then another reason why, Bielema and, you know, and Tommy, I'm going to take this phrase from him. You're talking about wetting the bed for the basketball team. Bielema wet the bed for an entire year, or for years, that he was not recruiting the type of talent that Arkansas needs to win. So that's another thing that Chad Morris is taking over a program from Bielema. Bielema took over a program from Bobby Petrino. Everybody just kind of canceled the year out in between Bobby Petrino and Bielema. Nobody really lost interest. There was a lot of interest there because people were talking about Arkansas winning the national championship the year that John L. came in. And Bielema just came in at the right time with the right resume, and Chad Morris is coming in at the wrong time with not as good of a resume.
Well, and I think Bielema did some things early, and I know because I saw a lot of these and I was around for a lot of these. He went to every Razorback club in the state his first offseason when he arrived. And he was entertaining. He was engaging. And Morris has done some of those. He hadn't had the timetable to do all of those isn't up yet. By mid-April, a lot of those will be behind him. But Bielema was funny. He was engaging. He said
he
flamboyant
swagger.
Things. Exactly.
Right.
He said things that stuck with people. The handful that Morris has done at this point, I don't think has had. He's just not the public speaker that Bielema was. But neither was Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino was dry. He was boring. He was worse than the chicken on your plate at most of those banquets.
Yeah.
But by God, he could coach. He could coach.
He won. And that was the difference.
And that was the difference at the end of the day. He can win. So I don't get, we're not going to evaluate coaches based on how well they speak at a banquet. But that was one thing that brewed excitement was Bielema would get up there and say these flamboyant things. He poked fun at Bielema or at Petrino a little bit. And he did things to get people laughing and engaged and on his side. And in the end, he just didn't win enough games to go along with that. So Petrino, again, not very good in those settings. We're going to run a great spread offense. Tyler Wilson's really good. It was just not very exciting, but he won games. And at the end of the day, that's where you keep your job or lose your job, as you win games.
And another thing, and now I'm not trying to put you guys on the spot because I don't know. I don't know much either. I'll start with you, John. Who's the best recruit that that Chad Morris just signed? Hold on. Okay, that's fine. Tell me. I'm going to go to you. And once again, I'm not trying to put you guys on the spot because the only, I semi keep up with that stuff, but I wouldn't have a clue if I didn't semi keep up. He didn't sign Denver Kirkland. He didn't sign Alex Collins.
Hunter Henry.
He didn't sign Hunter Henry. And that's enough. And you can go, and today, I challenge both of you, go ask anybody who talks sports with you on the regular and just walk up to them and say, hey, who are some of the better guys that Chad Morris has signed? They can't name a guy. They can say or they can say Connor
who's
Nolan.
Already committed.
Yeah.
Just because he's already here. But they can't tell you, oh, man, he got a five-star running back, and I can tell you what he likes for breakfast and what his favorite TV show is. And by the time Alex Collins got here, people could tell you that. By the time Denver Kirkland got here, people could tell you that. Hunter Henry, the same way. So there are a ton of factors, and I'm with you, to why people just right now are just not excited about Razorback football.
But here's another thing and another element that I wanted to add into it, and I guess we can revisit the rumors that were going around with the coaching carousel. But it looked like there for a bit, some people were really convinced that Gus Malzahn would have been the head. Now, if he was the head coach.
Another good point.
And if he was the head coach.
It'd be different.
Would it be different?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So would the excitement be through the roof?
Yes.
See, because I agree with that, too. So so when you're coming down to the problems or why the excitement's not there, it's just about what moves the needle.
But that answers three of the things that we brought up. If Gus Malzahn was here, you'd have a few better recruits. You would.
Yeah.
You'd probably have at least one or two four-star. You may even have a five-star. So we'll say that. He has a much better resume. And now when you're looking back at
your season tickets would be doubling. But
Other
than that, it'd be awesome.
Right. But you look back at his resume and what he's done in the past versus what Chad Morris has done. And so now you're answering a lot of these questions. The only thing that's still there is he's taking over a program after a guy wet the bed and not a program where there was a lot of excitement and then he's taking over. So, yeah, if Gus was here right now, then everybody would be excited. And like Tommy said, your tickets would go up. But once again, you wouldn't care. And they would have sold more by now.
Yeah. I mean, and who knows how many games it would have won, even if Malzahn was the coach. I mean, would you feel, as far as the success of the season would be,
now,
how much would you care about?
Now, and that's one of those, though, I don't know if it would even matter next year.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't think it would.
I don't think that Malzahn is necessarily going to, because last year, Brett Bielema was getting out-coached.
Oh, yeah.
He really was.
Every game.
He was being out-coached in a lot of these games, to whereas with Chad Morris and Malzahn, I think both of those guys, as far as football minds, are right there. And Malzahn, he's going to pull in one or two better four or five stars year one, but I don't know if that'd be enough for him to actually win more games. But fans don't care about that in the offseason. When you're getting excited and and the marketing team is selling all these things.
I want to revisit this topic later in the show because I think it's very interesting. There's some more points I want to make, but we're up against the break. Because anytime you can talk spring football, even though the excitement's not there, I think there's a lot of interesting elements coming.
Some of the lack of excitement, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about it.
That too.
Bo hadn't spent a lot of time talking about it in the afternoon because we've been talking about basketball and postseason basketball and the NCAA tournament. And now we kind of get to turn the page a little bit. So will the excitement ramp up as we ramp up the conversation?
Like, hey, very well could happen. I guess time will tell. Coming up next, Three in the Lane with Nick Mason.
This is Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. Get by your local Toyota.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
No spin, no agenda, just the most honest sports talk in Arkansas. This is the Morning Rush.
I know Nick doesn't mind, but he's getting ripped on Twitter right now for his arguments about coaches and all that.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, I mean, you expected that, though,
but
right?
No, like, if you sit down, if you sit a couple of coaches down, and they will tell you what I'm saying is absolutely true. Now, they'll say it's not right, and we need to make some rule changes. And, hey, I'm all for that. But if you sit a couple of coaches down that are in the know or that have good players, then they'll tell you, yeah, I mean – the players are in charge right now because the way the rules and stuff are set up. Yeah.
We're going to talk about a coach and a player and see how much power that coach has. Yeah. It's all made possible by Sassy.
Yeah, let's open up the phone lines. We'll get this conversation going there too. 877-377-6963. March Madness here. Great place to watch the game is at Sassy's on their patio at either location, 708 North College or just off the Weddington exit at the newest location for Sassy's Barbecue and Grill on Steamboat Drive. Great appetizers, great things like their Sassy smoked tacos. And, of course, you can't go wrong with any of the great Sassy's burgers, whether it's the Sassy's barbecue burger, the chili burger, their Moo Pig Suey burger. They've got it all. And great appetizers, as we mentioned, from their Tex-Mex nachos, the Irish nachos, the sausage and cheese, and, of course, the buffalo and barbecue quesadillas. Sassy's is the perfect place to watch all the games on the patio. Sassy's, two locations on College and Fayetteville, the original location, and now just off the Weddington exit at Steamboat Drive in Fayetteville.
Cleveland Cavalier head coach Tyronn Lue is stepping away from coaching to focus on his health. His quote, after many conversations with our doctors and general manager Kobe Altman and much thought given to what is best for the team and my health, I need to step back from coaching for the time being and focus on trying to establish a stronger and healthier foundation from which to coach for the rest of the season, end quote. And I hear this, and knowing that, first off, he's only going to be gone in like a week, apparently, at this point.
There's like 12 games until the playoffs.
Yeah. And
apparently this has been an ongoing, I was listening to it described earlier this morning, and he has had problems with some chest pains, and even there's been some reports of him coughing up blood, and there's just some things going on
loss
with him.
Loss of sleep.
Loss of sleep. He can't figure that out. And he's had a couple of episodes, a couple of bouts with this, and they can't figure it out. And there's been two other occasions he's wanted to step away, but he didn't think the timing was right or the look was going to be right. And one was around the trade deadline. He wanted to get those new players infiltrated, and there was another spot in the season. He just didn't think it would look right, like he was quitting on his team. And he felt now was a good time to do this and take a short-term break from the team and try to get his health figured out. But this may not be an issue he can figure out in 10 days or 15 days or 3 weeks ahead of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a weird spot for him. And him and LeBron were having a very heated argument, which I think it's overblown a lot of times because I think in any professional sport, especially when – it's starting to get to the nitty-gritty of getting to the playoffs. I think coaches and players get into a lot of arguments. But, you know, some people just feel like this isn't exactly – maybe it is a little bit of a health issue, but a lot of it may just be the fact that he's got LeBronchitis. Some people want to say his illness is because LeBron and him haven't been really getting along. We know the history of LeBron and the relationship that he has with coaches. And, again, because if you're the coach of LeBron James, you're not the coach.
Yeah. Bus driver.
Yeah, you're just there – to keep the glue together as best as possible. It's LeBron's team. And so some people are just wondering if that may be the case where, you know, he needs to step away. Yeah, it's health, but maybe LeBron is the reason for his health issues. I mean, it's funny because how LeBron gets blamed for a lot of stuff, but I feel like there might be some truth to how difficult it might be to be the head coach of LeBron James.
Well, so a lot of stress comes from expectations being set very high and you trying to reach those expectations. The fact that he has LeBron on his team, those expectations are going to be set high. You even look at like Brett Bielema this past year. He was extremely stressed out. You can tell over his career, he was extremely stressed out. You can tell by the amount of weight that he had gained over his career. All that came because he filled shoes, and then from there, people kept expecting more and more and more. The same thing lies right here. So, yeah, I do think that stress is in it. I don't think that this is something that he's faking or he's trying to get away from LeBron or LeBron has pushed him to the side or whatever the case may be. But I do think that coaching LeBron, and this goes back to our argument from earlier, coaching good players nowadays is very hard because another example of why the players have the most power, coaching good players is hard. Look at Tubby Smith. Tubby Smith got fired because he didn't realize that the players had the control. Tubby Smith came in and he kind of pushed the Lawson's dad to the side. As far as the Lawson's dad, he was already on staff. The Lawson's dad had two sons that were at Memphis already, has two other sons that are going to be high major. So Pastner decided to hire him at Memphis. Then whenever Tubby came in, he wasn't really feeling it. Push him to the side. The Lawson's dad takes both of his boys out of there. Tubby Smith gets fired. And so, you know, it goes back to whenever those expectations are that high, whenever you're coaching the Lawson brothers because they're 4 and 5 star, or when you're at Memphis or when you're in the NBA, when you're coaching LeBron, there's going to be a lot of stress there. And as a coach, it's almost one of those things that, like, if Cleveland wins, it's going to be because of LeBron. If Memphis won, it was going to be, well, the Lawsons were great. Whereas when Memphis is losing, it's Tubby's fault. And if Cleveland loses the national championship, it's going to be Ty Lue's fault.
But it's amazing how we got to this point, especially with basketball specifically here, because it's like, at what point, say in the NBA, for instance, because obviously LeBron James, best player in the world, yeah. I mean, he's got all the power, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But what about a player that's the 7th best player on his team in the NBA? You know, is it one of those things where he doesn't have to listen to the coach? He has the control? Because it's like, at what point?
That's a good question.
At what point does the coach no longer have as much say and as much power to certain players than he does with other ones?
And that's a great question. So it goes case by case, team by team, and level by level. If you're looking at in the NBA, and normally, though, the 7th best player on any level, people just don't care. Like, if you want to act a fool, that's fine. But even then, if the 7th best player on a high school team is acting that way, or he's the 7th best player, he still has a little power being the 7th best player, because now, once again, just using an example, but now if you're the 7th best player on Fayetteville High School, well, then you just go down to Pea Ridge. And now you're the 1st or 2nd best player, and you're going to act accordingly. You're going to act how you want to act, and you're gonna have the power. So you're going to change your situation, change the dynamic. So now the power is still back in that player's hands. It just goes, level by level, just depending on how good you are. And we throw out this sense of, oh, well, if you have a bad attitude or you got to listen to the coach. It honestly comes down to how good you are and how many tickets can you sell. If you are Ben Simmons, you don't have to go to as many classes as Trey Thompson had to. Like, that's just a fact. That is just the way that this is set up. If you're LeBron, you probably don't have to show up to as many off seasons as J.R. Smith does. That's just a fact. That's just how it's going to go. If you are Malik Monk or Kayvon Allen, you're going to be able to do a few more things in high school than another high school player that may be the 5th man on Southside or the 5th man on Northside. That's just how things have evolved. And, you know, if you want to sit back and tell yourself that, oh, well, it's not that way, well, you're just lying to yourself. And this is another example of how the players have all the power.
Yeah. The problem I've got, and I think that's the way life works, if you're the number one salesperson at said insurance company, estate company, whatever it is, and you've got some kind of issue, or you want to take off early on Fridays, or you want to do whatever, you've got more rope. You've got more leeway. It's just the way, because you bring in more life insurance policies than anybody else. If you're the number 8 salesperson for the life insurance policies, you better get out and find you some more life insurance. I mean, you know, and you can apply that example with whatever the industry. But when we're talking back to the origin of the conversation, fourth grade basketball, what I mean, now we're getting back to where parenting is still the most important element that should be going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching people how to grow up and be respectful adults at some point in their life over the next, you think about it, well, they got a long time to learn that. Well, they're in fourth grade. They're not that many years away from being a high school graduate.
Right.
You stop and think about it. It's only, what, it's 8 more years, you know, at that point. So we're talking grade school basketball. You think, well, it's not that big a deal. What is a big deal? You know, because I think the younger you go, the more you've got to think about some of these things. And that's where the origin of this conversation started was you know, the lack of respect. I think we're teaching our kids when parents are trying to coach from the stands, parents are trying to referee from the stands, and back to what Frank Martin was saying, and that's where we started all this with what Frank Martin was talking about in a rant he went on yesterday, that he goes to his kids' fourth grade basketball games and he's just astonished at how people are acting a fool there.
But if I know more than your coach,
it doesn't matter.
See,
doesn't
but
matter
I think it
that
does,
you know
though.
More.
If I know,
no,
if I
it
know
doesn't
more,
matter,
if I know more than your head coach, and I know, hey, listen, this is what you need to do. You need to backdoor at this point, or you need to go down and dig on the ball at this point. There's
okay,
no
is
problem.
That a, is that a
with
conversation you need to be yelling from the stands, or something you need to be talking about in the car on the way home?
Well, but I got to remind him from the stands.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean.
Well, see, I don't see an issue in that. Why
though.
then? Why don't you become the coach? That's my thing. If you're one
I'm
of those parents,
that.
Well, exactly, and that's the whole point.
That's
is because,
the problem. Everybody thinks they know more than the person in charge in life about everything,
and it's
not
whether,
true.
Whether it's about being
true.
A referee, being
true.
An announcer, being
true.
A police officer, being a judge, being
but
a TV commentator,
they
being
do.
The president of the United States, it doesn't matter what it is. Everybody thinks they know more about it, and they have no respect for anybody. Why? Because their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club 20 years ago when they were playing fourth grade basketball.
Well, now, and I can say, though, my dad definitely, he just would always say, man, listen, this is fourth grade basketball, fifth grade basketball, 10th grade basketball, 11th grade basketball. This isn't going to be a huge part
Put
of
it
your
in
life,
perspective.
Which is fine. But there is a respectful way that you can, to me, you can coach from the stands and you can respectfully disagree with what the refs are doing if they're calling the wrong calls.
Or maybe it's a missed opportunity to teach your kids, hey, not everything in life goes your way. Not every person that's going to be your boss later on in life is going to know exactly what they're doing. Not everybody in life that you're going to engage, be it an official or be it a police officer, be it someone else that's going to be in charge of some kind of part of your life down the road, is going to get it perfect. And you better learn to deal with it. And we're going to start learning to deal with it by that missed travel call right here. But in the way we respond, the way we react, the way we handle it. Because life's not perfect. Life's not fair. And not everything in life is going to go your way.
Well,
But no one ever stops to think about, hey, I want to teach that to our kids, how to cope when things don't go your way. Because we think everything in life should go our way. We're entitled to everything. That's what people... Because we've raised a whole generation that way.
Do what I say, not what I do.
I still think that if you're out there and you're still wanting to coach that badly from the stands, and just be the coach, and you can do it all you want. And you know that it's just it run because I like listen, again. I don't have a kid. I got nephews, and I see this. So you know, I think every kid's different. I think kids respond to certain ways of going about parenting than different kids. Some kids you can just look at them a certain way and they know what to do. Other kids you got to put it in perspective and put it bluntly. But I just feel like at some point in time, though, and again, we're talking about young kids here, at some point in time, they have to understand that, like Tommy said, it's establishing a way of life in the way of attitude, of adjustment, of reaction, and all of that for later in life when things don't go your way.
No one's getting a college scholarship based on their performance at the YMCA on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m. in the fourth grade year. It's not. It ain't how it works,
man. That's unfortunate.
It's just not how it works.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to look forward to it. Yeah. Anyways, but and hey, and also think about Steph Curry. I mean, at what point in time did he start running stuff? He played at Davidson, so I don't know. It's an interesting topic, though. Obviously, a lot of people were very responsive on social media and all that. So I guess it was a successful topic, especially. And thank you, Frank Martin, for putting it in perspective for us and making it happen.
Hey, spring break week, you might be thinking about those spring plans, or maybe just the start of spring being here makes you think about your summer vacation, your summer plans that might be just around the corner. Be thinking about Gaston's White River Resort, the perfect place to get away, to relax, to spend some family time together. Nothing brings families or people or clients or coworkers together more than spending a little time in a boat out on a river doing some fishing. You think about, well, we take clients golfing, we take clients to go on hunting trips. Why not take clients to go fishing? Why not take your family on a fishing trip? And Gaston's is the number one trout resort in America, and there is a lot of reason why. Great service, great facilities there. They got the perfect cabin, the perfect lodge, perfect accommodations to suit your group. Whether it's 4 going, 14 going, you got 20 going, they've got the perfect place to make it all work for you. If you need to plan that big family reunion or that big business retreat, they've got the conference center there that can accommodate that as well. Gastons.com for a lot of details. You can also make reservations and then call 870-431-5202 and get all the details worked out for your upcoming trip. If you're going in the month of March, you can go right now and save 30% off lodging prices when you stay 2 or more nights the rest of this month. It's all at Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time, every time.
This is Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.